And we are down at Warbirds. Hello. Come on down and enjoy on the fly with some great Warbird people. All kinds of activity, trams running around. They have their own little control tower, Warbird ground control, and all kinds of activity happening. We, speaking of activity, get to talk about the Warbird Air Show now. Jim Zazas joins us on the air here, along with Bill Harrison. And Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Monty. How about yourself?
Good, good. Tell me a little bit about how the air show is going this year.
Spectacular. It's going very well. We had our first large Warbird show yesterday, and we endeavored to have something overhead the crowd at all times, and I believe that everything came together just perfectly.
Now, tell us a little bit about the orchestration of that, because it takes a lot of briefing, planning, organizing, you name it, to make that look like it does.
Well, from what the crowd sees, you know, we're out for entertainment and for safety. You know, safety is our primary concerns and the entertainment is secondary. But you're exactly right. There's a lot of planning that goes into the organization of EA Warbirds of America Air Show. And that begins right after we finish convention. The primary air bosses, Wayne Boggs, George Klein, Mark Ringland, work together to start looking, Dave Rothenager, start looking ahead to the future, what we're going to do for the following year. And generally about 6 months beforehand, they start putting scripts together, start getting ideas on how, what we're going to do. We don't know the players. We won't know the actual pilots and aircraft that we'll have available. But based on past history, on who's repeatedly come to Air Venture, we have a very good idea. And we start planning an air show, a script, if you will, based on the number of aircraft and the players. And we have themes. Each time we try to have a separate theme. Example, today we have a Vietnam reenactment. You know, yesterday we wanted to put something, a little bit of everything before the crowd. And it's worked very well.
So we are actually broadcasting here live from your briefing porch. And inside this room, behind the porch, is where a lot of this activity is conducted, right?
And that is true.
Every day, if you're flying in an air show, you're in there briefing.
We have very thorough pilot briefs. The pilots gather, and it doesn't matter if you've signed up on the list and you want to participate in the air show, it's mandatory that you attend the briefing. If you do not attend the briefing, you will not fly in the show.
Oh, I was just going to say that you know, we had John Ball on just a few minutes ago. This building was donated by John and Debbie Ball, and that's the kind of commitment we get out of Warbird people. They really feel like that what we're doing is important to preserve history for the future.
Well, and it's important to have these facilities because a briefing makes the air show safer, right?
Yes.
So once they brief, now how is it organized from there forward?
Well, you can think of it, you know, brief the way you're going to fly, fly the way that you briefed. And we have a very thorough briefing. Briefings run anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour and a half long. A lot of that briefing takes place after the formal briefing, where air bosses brief the pilots. The individual pilots will go to their individual groups, and the flight leader will now brief his pilots on specifics that need to take place. The T-6 group, the fighter group, the transport bomber group, each group will be in their little sessions to further refine the briefing and refine the fine points of what each individual member will be doing, each aircraft within that flight.
Now, the public who gathers and watches this air show really has no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And I visit with you every year over there and watch you in action. And there is a lot that happens in the middle of a Warbird air show. It's not just pilots following each other around up in the sky. You've got the air boss and your crew and the announcer work so closely together to make it safe and make it enjoyable. Tell us specifically about what's going on behind the scenes over there.
That's a very good point, Marty G. Overhead, the public is seeing the aircraft fly the patterns, you know, that they've been briefed to do. On the ground, the primary air boss, think of him as being a symphony conductor. He is conducting the aircraft. He's moving the aircraft through the sky. He's resolving any conflicts that may arise. He's taking care of any problems that may arise. But if everyone does what they have been briefed to do, his job is relatively easy. He's busy, but it works well for him. Now we move away from the air boss to the announcer stand, and we have the narrator. In this case, Danny Clisham is our narrator, the Award Raiders of America narrator. He is providing the entertainment portion. You know, besides, he's the background information. He's describing the aircraft. He's describing the historical background. He's trying to weave a story into what's taking place before the public. My job on the announcer stand, I feed the information to Danny. Actually, I feed the position of aircraft. I pace the narrator on what's taking place. I will point out formations or individual aircraft of interest that Danny needs to bring to the attention of the public. It's a team effort. We're all working together. It doesn't matter if it's the pilots, the air boss, the narrator, myself. It's a team effort. We all work together to bring the best air show here possible.
So it starts with a briefing. You get basically a portfolio of what steps and activities is going to go. And you actually, I've seen your book. You have this huge book that you take out there, and it's basically the choreography of the show, right?
That's a good way. It's we don't have a musical score, but we have a timeline that takes place. You know, at a specific times, certain things will take place before the crowd. That's what Airboss is trying to ensure, that we're following that scripted schedule. I look at that information. I have an idea of what formations will be approaching, what type of aircraft, and I try to direct the narrator's attention to that formation or to that group so he can bring that information and bring the public's attention to that formation or that group overhead.
Now, we're going to regress a little bit. We're going to go back to a pilot who has an aircraft that's going to be in the air show at AirVenture Oshkosh. This process starts a long time before they get to this briefing room here, right?
Yes.
And you have cards, right? You've got cards that the pilots have to get certified to do this type of flying. Talk a little bit about that. I know, Bill, you probably wrote a lot of those.
I will defer this to Bill because he did, in fact, put a lot of this together.
Well, there was some concern, particularly about formations and, you know, the risk of flying a bunch of formations in public airspace. And so we developed a formation training syllabus and qualifications both for wingmen, or the ones who are following, then the leaders who are doing the lead. And you have to have a certain amount of experience, you have to have the training, and then you must demonstrate your ability, and then you're carded, which was the term you used, and that's the term that you used. You're carded for formation flying, and it has to be renewed on a regular basis. They don't accept, you know, five-year-old formation cards, because you have to show that you've maintained your skills. And it's very much, as you know, I'm a physician, and in medicine, you take CME courses to constantly maintain your education. Well, that's the same thing for formation flying. You need to maintain your skills.
And that drives right down to the primary focus, and that's safety.
Well, the program is called the FAST program, which really isn't talking about speed. It's F for formation and safety training. FAST. It's the FAST program. And there's a lot of work done by one of our members named Dave Clinton. And he put out a booklet and videos. And it really has changed the approach to formation flying. When I first started doing it, if you had the airplane, you flew formation. And you scared a few. And when you see the guy next to you flying, holding the stick with his knees, taking pictures of everybody else, it makes you a little nervous.
So, drinking a Coke, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, they would do anything. So it's much better organized, which provides safety not only for the participants but for the public.
Well, and we and the public appreciates all that behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on, obviously, for, you know, reasons that, you know, we're here and certainly don't want anything to happen. You know, that's
right.
The whole point. The whole point is have a great show. Everyone enjoy it. You know, have a good week. And those behind-the-scenes things that we're talking about, that's what makes it possible. Truly.
Yeah, it's, you know, good preparation makes a good performance. It doesn't matter what field you're in. That's the whole secret of a good performance is preparation.
That's right.
Planning and preparation.
All right. Well, Jim Zazas, I know you have to run down and brief for the briefing. Here we go again. For the air show this afternoon, which is going to be the Vietnam one. And Bill, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to a few more people about some things, the training command, the tram that you have down here with Glenn Goldman from the Canadian group. So there's a lot more. J. Monchi, we're on the fly at Warbirds. We'll be right back. You're listening to EAA Radio.